Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. The City of Maryville will have some help getting into the Christmas spirit from the city's Public Art Council. The council will kick off the holiday season this evening with an art exhibit and a visit from Santa. Diane Setoff is a member of the council and one of the organizers of the event. She says it's a celebration of holiday arts.
It really centers around an outdoor gallery opening, so to speak, for the art that is being installed in 12 storefront windows. So these are large art installations that range from painting to multimedia art presentation, each artist's interpretation of the holidays. You're going to see a wide range of that interpretation in style and medium.
So what types of medium might we see?
Well, I know that at least one window I saw already is mainly painting. Another one I know is going to be multimedia visual video presentation. I know another window, the one that I'm actually working on, is all folded paper. I'm not sure what the other ones are going to be. That's the exciting piece of it, is we just really don't know. Then the Public Art Council took it beyond just this gallery opening. We wanted to really celebrate all of the arts and also make this a very fun family event to come to. So Santa is going to be making a grand entrance at 7 o'clock until 8:30. Santa will be available in the Northside Mall to hear wishes and to take photographs with the children. The firemen will be on two of the street corners roasting marshmallows with the kids. There will be carolers. The Nottoway County Theater Group will be doing a presentation of a melodrama called Rollin' in Dough in Mistletoe. And that will also be in the Northside Mall, and that will be at 7:30 and then again at 8. It's a short melodrama. There will be just all kinds of exciting activities around the street corner. We also want people to come because there are two cash awards on the line for the artists. One of those will be determined by a professional jury. The other one is to be determined by popular vote, and there's only one night to vote, and that is Thursday night. And you must be down at the square, tour all of the art installations, and then cast your ballot.
Why did the Public Art Council decide to do something? This sounds like a major event. Why would you decide to organize something like this, and what do you see it doing for the community?
Art is all about expression. It's about creating dialogue, making people think, mostly in a fun, creative way. Sometimes it can have a more powerful statement than that. But right now we wanted to just focus on bringing some of that life and creativity to our community with this temporary installation of art that is mostly homegrown, and make it a fun event for people to come to and to experience a little bit more art in our little piece of the world.
Does the Public Art Council have plans for another exhibit later, maybe?
Oh, I'm sure we probably will. Hopefully this will continue to grow and become more elaborate and a larger event every single year. I'm sure that we're talking about some things for the summer that should be a lot of fun. The large sculptures that are around the square right now, those are temporary art. In the large public art environment, when we talk about temporary art, that is anywhere from 6 to 12 to 18 months. So we'll be starting the process of looking at rotating those sculptures out to another interesting art display. We'll have to stay tuned to see what that's going to be.
Well, it sounds like it will be very interesting to watch the square change and grow and evolve.
We hope so. We want there to be a lot of activity and excitement. The downtown square is really a jewel that I don't think the community takes full advantage of, and we're trying to change that a bit.
That was Maryville Public Art Council member Diane Setoff. She says the holiday festivities and the art exhibit kick off tonight. Santa arrives at 7 o'clock until 8:30 in the Northside Mall on the square in downtown Maryville. The window art exhibits will be on display through the first week of January. Best Christmas Pageant Ever returns to Clorinda this weekend. The Clorinda Community Theater will present the play tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Carol Bellairs is the president of the Clorinda Community Theater. She says this is a reprise performance.
It's a story of a family that is trying to put on a Christmas pageant for their church, and this woman gets roped into it because the woman who usually directs the play has broken her leg, and she can't direct it, so poor Mrs. Bradley gets the job. And then a family in town, the Herdmans, are known for being the bullies and the wild kids of town, and they hear that there's always refreshments at church, so they show up at church for the treats, and it happens to be the Sunday they're picking the parts for the Christmas pageant, and the Herdman kids bully their way into all of the important parts of the Christmas pageant, but they've never heard the Christmas story. So where rehearsals seem to be going terribly wrong, in the midst of it, the Herdman children are actually learning what the true meaning of Christmas is. So it's a comedy, and things seem to go wrong, but in the end, it'll all come out right.
Now, why did the community theater decide to do a reprise of this?
We have a director this year, Jalinda Gowing. She's a teacher for Clarinda Schools. Her children were in the show 10 years ago, and she felt it was such an important event, and it was so meaningful for her and her family, that she decided it was time to do it again and to do it for other children of the community now that it's been 10 years. Every person in the show is brand new to it, except me. I was in the show 10 years ago, and I have a different part. I'm in the show again this year. So it's really neat to see a whole new group of children growing up into the theater experience and this particular show, which is so touching.
How many people do you have involved in this?
We have a cast of 30, approximately, and only 9 are adults. So we have a lot of children involved in this production.
Is that pretty challenging?
Well, it seems like the pageant within the pageant is turning out naturally. If there are mistakes and goofs, we're hoping the audience won't notice and they'll just think it's part of the comedy, part of the story, that things are going wrong. And apparently, usually things do go wrong naturally. We're just hoping it fits right in with the theme. We had an oops moment 10 years ago when we did the show, when the two children playing the Herdman kids that had the part of Mary and Joseph, they were fighting over the baby Jesus doll, and they pulled the leg off of the baby doll, and it was production. It was opening night, and the kids just looked absolutely shocked, but the audience loved it. I think maybe they thought it was supposed to happen like that, but that, just those kind of things that happen, and it just gives it a realism. I want to make sure I mention a few people. Jolinda Gowing is directing with the assistance of Deb Nelson. They're both teachers in the school. The woman playing Mrs. Bradley is a teacher in Clarinda Schools. That's Julie Carnes. The one playing her husband, Dan DeGroot, works for Clarinda Schools in the technology department. So we have a whole bunch of educators, which is good because we have all these children in the cast. So it takes us all to kind of keep control. It's organized chaos, really.
That was president of the Clarinda Community Theater, Carol Bellairs. She says the Best Christmas Pageant Ever opens tomorrow night at 7:30 and runs Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 o'clock. All performances will be at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Clarinda. Tickets are available by calling the Clarinda Foundation at 712-542-4412. St. Joseph Symphony will be joined by vocalists to kick off the holiday season. Conductor and music director of the St. Joseph Symphony, Rico McNeela, says this weekend's Yuletide Pops concert will be a fun program for the entire family.
It's going to include music ranging from the Baroque to the contemporary. You've got some featured performers. The Griffin Jr. Singers are going to perform, and Mike Matthews, our bass trombonist, is going to play with the orchestra, and there's going to be a sing-along. It's going to be just a wonderful holiday kind of experience.
Now, Mike Matthews has also composed a song that will be performed in this. Is that correct?
Yes. It's a really cute arrangement of some Christmas melodies for bass trombone accompanied by orchestra. And it sounds a little bit unlikely, but if you think of it kind of like a baritone singer without words, it makes a lot of sense.
So you think that will be a hit?
Oh, yeah. and if it sounds like you know Mike. Mike has just a great sense of humor, and he's very clever and a wonderful arranger-composer, and it's a really nice piece.
Now, will some members of the symphony be doing individual pieces or smaller group pieces during this concert as well?
The program is going to start with the Overture to the Messiah, which, of course, does have a very large Christmas section. We're just going to play the overture, though. Then we're going to play the Christmas Concerto of Arcangelo Corelli, a Baroque Italian composer. And following that, we will play the Bach Brandenburg Concerto No. 1. And then the Griffin Jr. Singers will join us for the March of the Toys from Babes in Toyland that a wonderful arranger by the name of Alan Arnold has put music and words to. And they will also sing The Lord is My Shepherd. And then we'll do three of the character pieces from The Nutcracker and the first half. The second half, we're going to have some Dixieland jazz caroling going on, and then Mike Matthews' piece and the Blue Danube Waltz to sort of anticipate the new year, and we're going to end with a holiday sing-along.
So the audience will be able to participate?
Yes. We will hand out the words to all the songs and make it really clear when it's time to sing, and it should be just a lot of fun.
What are you looking forward to most with this concert?
Well, I think more than anything is the audience. The audience we have for the Pops is just a really lively, fun audience. And because it involves so many kids, it's just a great time.
Is that difficult for the symphony to work with the younger musicians?
No. The Griffin Jr. Singers are trained by Karen Heidi-Lutanovich, and she does just a wonderful job with them. And as far as the kids in the audience, we choose the pieces so that they're all under 10 minutes long. It's easy for the kids to maintain their concentration. We're going to have a really nice reception and intermission involving cookies and hot chocolate. So we're doing our best to make families comfortable at this concert.
Let's do talk a little bit more about those Griffin Jr. Singers. Who makes up this group?
These are children from throughout the region, and they are part of the Western Reserve program at the university, a program that is sponsored by the music department, and the kids meet once a week to rehearse, and they're joining us for their second time in the last 2 years. They sang with us the year before last.
It must be a real thrill for them to be able to join an orchestra and do something like this.
I think it is. To be able to sing with a group of professional musicians accompanying you is something that doesn't happen often. And these kids are well aware of how unusual that is. They just are really, really excited about singing.
That was the conductor and music director of the St. Joseph Symphony, Rico McNeela. He says the St. Joseph Symphony's Yuletide Pops concert will be Saturday evening, beginning at 7 o'clock at the Missouri Theater at 717 Edmund Street in downtown St. Joseph. Tickets are available online at stjosephsymphony.org or at the door. Chillicothe will be bringing in the holiday with hits of Broadway and Sinatra and Christmas favorites this Sunday. Julie Ashbrook is the administrator for the Chillicothe Area Arts Council.
This show is featuring the Jim Guy Trio, and that trio is made up of musicians who are instructors and professors in Missouri. And Jim is from the Central State Missouri University at Warrensburg, and he has played with us before here, played for us. And this year we are adding a couple named Karen and Clay Jensen, who moved to Chillicothe from the Twin Cities area, where they were active in theater for about 10 years. And Clay moved here to get some experience in radio in a smaller market, and they are just so talented, and we wanted to find a venue for them to perform. And Jim Guy and his trio were more than willing to work with them, so we have a great show planned, and we're real excited about it.
So is this a theatrical production, or is it a music program?
It's a music program, and it will be, you know, all just like the title, hits of Broadway, Sinatra, and Christmas favorites. And the second half of the show will be all Christmas music, and we have asked our friends of the arts here to share photographs of winter and Christmas scenes. And we have wonderful photographs that have been sent to us, and we're going to have a slideshow of winter scenes from, you know, the area in the background while we do the Christmas portion of this show.
It sounds like this is a collaboration of the entire community.
It really is. It really is.
That's got to make you feel good that, you know, the whole community wants to come together to do something like this.
You know, it really does. I put out a plea for pictures last week, and people just sent wonderful stuff. And Clay and Karen have been so generous with their time and willingness to do this. And Mr. Guy, you know, has met with them, and they've practiced, and they've worked it all out. We had a Christmas float, and the Jensens sang songs from the float. We have a big holiday parade in Chillicothe each year. So, it's been really fun.
That was the administrator for the Chillicothe Area Arts Council, Julie Ashbrook. She says hits of Broadway, Sinatra, and Christmas favorites will be this Sunday, beginning at 3 o'clock at the Gary Dickinson Performing Arts Center in Chillicothe. Tickets are available at the door.
It should come as no surprise that 5 of the 10 biggest grossing films over the weekend were kid movies. They sprout up like mushrooms overnight during the Thanksgiving Christmas holidays, of course. Also, they draw a different demographic than action, adventure, and date movies. Parents who might not get out to movies so much and who with children can afford them, but will go to bring their kiddies. So Hollywood has learned to make films that appeal to both children and adults, and so it goes in The Muppets, a delightful concoction that just might appeal to Mom and Dad more than to their own Muppets. Actually, the late Jim Henson figured out that formula years ago with his Sesame Street series on public TV. I enjoyed watching the late afternoon reruns with my daughters. Henson taught basics to preschoolers while getting giggles from me. Every episode taught a different letter of the day. I remember a group of Muppets in Beatles regalia belting out a song they call Letter B, which I caught as a Fab Four's hit, Let It Be. And then there was a bosomy Muppet singer named Polly Darton teaching another letter. So it goes in The Muppets, with winks and nods to the parents and nifty song and dance numbers for both them and the kiddies. There were a few Muppet movies over the years, the last, I think, in 2004. But interest has declined, and that's part of the plot of this movie. We have the same frame with Muppet characters living alongside humans without anyone noticing a difference. Gary, played by Jason Segel, who co-wrote the script, is lifelong best friends with Walter, a Muppet who still lives with him. Even after Gary grows up and has a 10-year relationship with girlfriend Mary, Amy Adams here, he continues to be roommates with Walter. Both have a sort of split personality, half Muppet and half man. And both are huge fans of the old TV Muppet shows, watching reruns together every day. Walter dreams of visiting the Muppet Museum in Hollywood. So, when Gary and Amy take a dream trip to Hollywood, they take Walter along and visit the museum. But they find it in ruins. The Muppets are out of fashion, it seems. Tex Richmond, a Texas oil man, has an option to buy it by a certain date. Seems there's oil below. Gary and Walter are crushed, so they try to round up the Muppets for a campaign to keep the museum and renovate it. They have to raise $10 million to keep it out of Richmond's hands. They start by finding Kermit the Frog, still dressed in Bearcat green, by the way, who lives in retirement in his mansion, and move on to others. Miss Piggy is in the fashion business for oversized women and living in Paris. Fousey is down and out, performing with a fake Muppet rock band called Moopets, and so on. Early in the movie, we get a short shot of Mickey Rooney in a crowd scene. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So savvy movie fans shouldn't be surprised when Kermit has a bright idea to save their home. "The only way we can raise that kind of money is to have a show," he exclaims, echoing the famous line that comes up in the 1930s Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland movies. And so it goes as the Muppets face an uphill battle against the evil Mr. Richmond to save the museum. The parents in the audience will notice that the movie is a throwback to the musicals of the 40s and 50s. Characters burst into song in the middle of a crowd, and either no one notices or all the people go into production number. There are lots of walk-ons from celebrity actors with Jack Black, Whoopi Goldberg, Alan Arkin, and many others. Will the Muppets in the audience get all the sly allusions in The Muppets? Definitely not. But I noticed in the showing I attended that the kids were having a good time, really grooving with the music and dances. And kids have always identified with the Muppets as fellow children. It's a Disney production and has all the feel-good stuff that Disney specializes in, especially the focus on family. And the Muppets are sort of a large family. Disney Studios bought the rights to some of the Muppet characters several years ago, but not all. I miss seeing Ernie and Bert, two favorite Sesame Street residents, Oscar the Grouch, Grover, the Cookie Monster, and the Count. Maybe they can all be reunited for another movie someday. I'm not sure the kids will enjoy The Muppets as much as I did, but I'm giving it 4 stars out of 5.
That was KXCD KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCD KRNW website, kxcd.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.